Well, believe it or not, we're already up to week 10 of our 40-week journey through the Bible here on Central Moments. And thank you for joining again this week. We are now up to the place of Israel's wanderings through the wilderness that God gives the Ten Commandments. That's going to be our focus all week. It's one of the most important documents probably in human history, still surviving to this very day after thousands of years as one of the most universally known moral codes in the world. And Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, introduces the giving of the Ten Commandments in this way. God spoke all these words. And he begins by saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Now, the Ten Commandments are about what God requires of us, but God never requires things of us until he first acts. He brought Israel out of slavery. And it's in response to God's delivering work that then this moral code was to be lived out of. For us in the New Testament, because Jesus in his work on the cross and his resurrection has set us free from the power of sin, it's in response to that that then God asks us to follow him and to live in a way that honors and pleases him, and also to live in a way that's healthy for us. Because one of the things that amazes me about the Ten Commandments is that especially the first three commandments tell us what's more important than anything else in the world. And when we get that priority reference point right in our life, it becomes a reference point for all of living and the key to be able to live fully the life that God has given us. It's the key to not just surviving, but thriving in life. This is God's will and purpose for us. So we're going to look at the first three commandments today. They group together. And so after saying, I brought you out of slavery, he said, number one, this is verse 3, you shall have no other God before me. I wonder if that's true. That's the baseline. I wonder if that's true in our lives. I mean, what really is determining your value system right now? And what's the basis upon which you're making behavioral decisions in your life? The answer to that question is the God you're serving. And God says, don't have other gods in front of me. Let me shape your value system. Let me be behind the behavioral decisions you make. And then the second commandment picks up on that. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. So no other gods before me. And then don't represent any kind of the God that I am with any kind of image. Most of every nation around Israel would have had idols crafted out of metal or wood or stone. And these idols, always this kind of idol worship was associated with sexual immorality, exploitive sexual immorality at that, and violence against children. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us that when you go to the table of the idols, the idol-worshipping temples, you are participating with demonic spirits. But even beyond that, how could you take the limitless Creator God and confine him to some kind of limited object and then bow down before that object? In fact, this was the issue. That's why in Psalm 115, the psalmist writes, why do the nations say, where is your God? See, Israel didn't have a visible God like every other nation that had idols. And the response is, well, our God is in the heavens, and unlike the idols, he can do whatever he wants. This God is invisible. And what a sin it is to quantify him and bow down to something that limits him, that quantifies the limitless, invisible God. In fact, centuries later, after the Ten Commandments were given, when the Romans were killing Christians in the arena, often the crowds would chant, away with the atheists. They viewed Christians as atheists because, unlike every other religion, they had no visible God that they worshipped. I wouldn't want to have to die for Christ being accused of being an atheist, but the fact is, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he wants. He's invisible, and we can never quantify him with something visible. And the follow-through to that is the third commandment in verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So profanity is the language of bitterness, whereas praise is the language of blessing. You never use the holy name of God and associate it with the language of bitterness and cursing or profanity. Neither do we trivialize Jesus' name. It is the name above every name. It is the name full of authority and power when we use it in prayer. And we don't use that name for any other purpose. If I was to wrap these three first commandments together, it would be the one commandment and the most important commandment that Jesus gave us. In answer to the question, what's the most important commandment of all of them? Jesus responds in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's what the first three of the Ten Commandments are all about. It's in their behavioral context, what does it mean to put the living God, the creator of the universe, what does it mean to put Jesus first in our lives? And with heart, with mind, with soul, in other words, with everything within us, we love him and serve him and walk in his graciousness towards us. So, Father, we thank you that nothing else finds its right reference point in life until we get first things first. And, Lord, we just say yes to you being the God of our lives, no other gods, determining, Lord, our decisions and our values. And we ask that you will help us to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind today. In Jesus' name, amen.